You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio, in association with EDC, is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, once again, we are with Greg Hollis, President and CEO of Trinity Protection Services, with a mission to provide state-of-the-art physical security services for commercial and residential entities, city, state, and federal governments. Greg, once again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Yes, sir. So first of all, can you tell our audience, again, for those especially that missed the first broadcast, about your company, Trinity Protection Services, and the work that you and employees do every day? And with today being September the 11th, the role of security and keeping our citizens safe, and the work that your employees do on a day-to-day basis as a security guard is something that is very important and vital and important to talk about, especially on this day.
Yes, Eric, I'd be glad to. Again, we're Trinity Protection Services, and as you stated in your opening, we provide physical security primarily to the federal government, but we provide that physical security in office environments, in military base environments, that sort of climate, primarily to the federal government. And our job, again, is to provide safety and security for the men and women and property at those locations. And we do that in a way such that we try and add to the moniker that, you know, security, the less you see of us, the better we are. If you've got to be a big presence, then, you know, usually there's something happening. So we try and keep things going smoothly, but again, safely and with some security is involved as well. As relates to 9/11, and it is, you know, a dubious occasion that we mark today. Our company got our start the year before that in 2000, and during the 9/11 crunch, Eric, it was a tumultuous time for the country, but particularly in security, as we were coming from an era where, you know, I like to say, you know, the day of the night watchman is over. You know, so some of the things that are the requirements, the bar, if you will, was set a lot lower than it is now. After the 9/11 and after we recognize some of the vulnerabilities that we have internally in the homeland in this country, things have put in place both in the public sector, meaning the government, and in the private sector as well. Requirements for individuals who would be in the security field, namely in our field, in terms of readiness, preparedness, education, physical fitness, firearm qualifications, and all those requirements shot through the roof. So we just try and do our part to provide some safety and security in our environment.
What are some of the challenges that your business faces as a security firm where your employees are on the front lines keeping us safe, especially in open and public spaces?
Well, I think, Eric, that the one of the most challenging things that we face is evolving solutions from our client. So in other words, security is an evolving process. So we understand that we'd like to secure access, control, safety features this way. And then something happens along the way that makes us understand, either through what we call a red team, somebody trying to penetrate, say, a building in a certain way, like maybe bringing, we get tested on maybe trying to, someone bringing explosives in different packages and so forth. And then we find out, hey, well, that could work, and maybe it didn't work, but it could work if, you know, they tried this. So what we need to do is we need to adjust our security so that we can get, so it's always being ahead. As I wrote in the Washington Times recently, referencing, you know, all the bad guys have to do is be successful once. we have to be successful every single time. So that it, whenever there's a lapse in our security, that means a bad guy was successful. So the evolving process is one of the most challenging events for our business to make certain that we are 100% and the people and property under our care is 100% protected and 100% safe.
Yes, I certainly agree with you there. Now, you started Trinity Protection Services a few months before 9/11 occurred, as you had mentioned. How have your thoughts and views changed in the security space before that fateful day and afterwards?
Eric, we were pretty high on security when we started the business, and we had this great feeling for security, both electronics and personnel-wise. However, we had no idea the road that security would evolve from and to in these last 12 years. There has just been strides, as you know, as you're well aware, electronics, electronic capability has continued to evolve. And to stay on top of that side and stay on top of that curve, but not only that, just the way professionals and experts in the business perceive security, perceive the ability to protect property and lives has made our country, I think, a lot safer than we were 12 years ago. And we're a lot more, over the last, I would say, 5 years, we're a lot more confident, even in spite of certain things like the Boston bombing. We're still, as a society, I think, a lot more confident in our security expertise as we've grown. And again, in fact, I was at lunch earlier today, and yesterday, and one of the conversations came, one of the topics came up about being 100%, meaning that no one anywhere at any time can penetrate this country. That's it's almost an impossibility when you have people who are willing to give up their lives to do some damage, to be a bad guy. I mean, but what the surveillance capabilities and the tactical capabilities are here, we match almost any type of breach that the bad guys are thinking about, and that's the best that we can do is continue to evolve so that we can be there when necessary to thwart an effort that obviously we would not like to have happen.
And touching once again, if you could just share a little more in depth, obviously, again, today's 9/11, now 12 years later for you and your business, how has the security space changed in general?
The security space in general has changed in terms of basic requirements. First of all, in order to become a security officer, each state, every state, has their own particular requirements. So every state, and I can say we're in about 26 of them, we have been licensed in probably 30 or 31 of the states, and I can say that I can see upon renewals more stringent criteria to even become involved in the security industry, vis-a-vis background checks, vis-a-vis physical checks, vis-a-vis physical tests and shooting accuracy, those sorts of things. So those basics have changed. But in addition to that, I think the strongest thing has been our electronic capabilities. Electronic capability meaning X-ray machines and wands and things that help to make us safe. Even going through the airport, I know it's a big inconvenience for people, but nowadays they have the machine you get in, and all it does, Eric, is just like a little whirly whirl around you, and it has searched for contraband on your body. But I think those are some of the basic changes in the in security world that we did not see 13 years ago in this business. We just didn't see it. It was maybe a pat down and some visual, but we've gotten some very sophisticated electronics as well as some basic training and knowledge. Those are the things I see that have been the significant difference over the past 12 years.
Yeah, not that long ago we had the Boston Marathon incident, and I'm just wondering if that incident alone changed anything about what you do in regard to the security space and keeping people and citizens safe in the public spaces. Anything different than the 9/11 incident?
Excellent question, Eric. And I, for Boston specific, my answer to that would be, I hope so. There's always a takeaway. There's always something that a team on the ground involving an incident would share to say, how do we avoid that? But again, as I was speaking about earlier, about a 100% thwart effort is just not practical in some arenas. So we can't close our doors and go home and not have marathons or not have college or even professional football games or large gatherings where we can say that we're going to be able to 100% control the traffic and control the contraband. So in that instance, what do you do? Remember, I just spoke a few moments ago about electronics. Because we had cameras on the streets there at that particular time, we were able to positively ID the culprits and start apprehending an apprehension process. It was the conglomerate of the stealth work, the electronics, and so when these things come together and we learn a lesson from them, we can apply them to the next situation. So I think yes, we have learned some valuable items from Boston, and again, can we stop it completely from happening? Not really with a determined mind. The best we can hope for is that, we catch almost all of them and before an incident, and then unfortunately every now and then we may have to live with being able to bring people to justice after they have actually committed a crime.
Today we are joined once again by Greg Hollis, President and CEO of Trinity Protection Services, with a mission to provide state-of-the-art physical security services for commercial and residential entities, city, state, and federal governments, here on Enterprise Radio, working in association with EDC, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Greg, many times the general public takes security for granted. And, it's a job that the professionals take seriously every day in the field. What's the training process like for your workers and the folks that you do hire? Who do you recruit, and how do you train your employees who are on the front lines every day securing the public, providing safety, and doing their job?
Our recruiting process starts with what our clients' requirements are. And for the bulk of those requirements on our federal sites means that they will receive a minimum of either 120 or 140, depending on which program, hours of initial training. They're going to come with experience. We cannot bring someone off the street. They need to come with a minimum of 3 year security, and if they're supervisors, a minimum of 7 year security experience. We find that for us, and it's not a requirement, I'm sure, for everywhere, but for us, we find that ex-military officers, ex-service men and women, make the best candidates for us. They understand chain of command. They understand discipline. They already know how to shoot a weapon. So we try and recruit when and where we can, and we actively always actively seek those men and women, and I can give you our website address at the end. I would ask, invite the men and women veterans of our country to apply for employment with us. That starts a basic with a basic requirement for Trinity Protection Services to be able to mold a force, a unit that would be effective to our government client.
In a perfect world, what are the few things that you would want for your business in the security space in general that would make life easier for you and your business in the security space that you're involved in?
You asked me that question, and it's never dawned on me what would make it easy for us. I'm not supposing that what would make it easy for us, obviously, is, no bad guys try anything ever. And that's the only thing that's going to make it easy for us. because of the nature of our work, you've heard possibly heard the term hurry up and wait, those types of things. Our job requires us to be vigilant 100% of the time. Now, again, as I alluded to early, the less you notice, the less the occupant of that building or that establishment notices security, the better for us. We blend into the fabric. Because if you're noticing us, generally speaking, there's something wrong. So what makes it easy for us, what would make it easier for us in entertaining your question, would be something that would allow us to not get readiness fatigue, that meaning that we're going to be always on the ready and somehow get fatigued from it. So freshening up, and we'll do things like transfer posts. So someone's at a post for 2 hours and then he moves to another post. We'll do things like put them in another building so that the watchful eye is always seeking rather than becoming comfortable with the environment and blending too much into it, if you will. So from that aspect, I would say that would make it, quote-unquote, you're using your term, easier for us.
Greg, does your business just do work domestically, or are you in Trinity Protection Services always looking to expand internationally with all the work that you do in the security space?
Glad you asked that question, Eric. Heretofore, we've done domestically. However, we are negotiating an agreement currently with a country in Africa, the country of Djibouti, where we are going to go over and do some training there. So we have a joint venture with a UK security firm that we're going over and provide some police and limited security training for that particular country. And I'm glad we're doing that because it gives us now an international footprint and so that we can continue our services we'd like to do throughout the Horn of Africa and possibly Pan-Africa, and then maybe even in some European countries.
Excellent. And finally, with security and keeping us safe always being a challenge and a difficult job every day, what are some of the challenges you feel you and your business and others will face over the next 5 to 10 years in the security space and keeping it safe?
Well, first of all, Eric, I think as a business, which we are, we're a business, some of the challenges that we have been facing and some of the challenges that small businesses and other businesses will continue to face in the near future, I see, is, you know, access to capital, access to credit, those types of things that are the lifeblood of businesses to keep them rolling. We have to, you know, pay people, we have to be able to pay the bills, and we have to be able to, and it takes money to do that. So I think those are some of the interesting challenges, not just for security business, but for any business to be able to maintain and keep cash flow going. I think it's been critical. Obviously, you know, since 2008, we're still haven't recovered. In a lot of the lending institutions who are still, you know, reeling from, you know, the financial crisis are not yet ready to lend money or give access to capital, give access to credit, and that keeps any business hamstring. With respect directly from the security firm, from a security firm perspective, I'm not sure that, I mean, I think the outlook for security is still good, which means the outlook for America has some safety and security concerns, but it's where you see now, I was looking at college programs lately where, you know, people are offering undergraduate and advanced degrees in, you know, criminal justice where, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, half these places didn't have it. You know, there were only specialized units that would give these degrees. But what it has done, it has opened up an industry for security, because I advise any young person, well, you don't know what you want to do, you don't want to go into the military, and you don't have any experience at anything else, get a job in a security firm. Work your way, get on an unarmed post, and then work your way to a weapons post, and then understand what's going on there in terms of the business side of it. You can get into supervisory. You can get into quality control. You can get into operations management. You can move into corporate. You can move to payroll, to HR. So there's a a huge, it's a huge, huge industry at this particular point by which an individual could get in, learn the basics, and move him or herself through the ranks and really enjoy some success. It is not your mom and pop security world anymore. As I said earlier, the day of the night watchman is gone. These are young men and women who are professionals, and I use young, you know, I'm not so young myself, but these are men and women who are professionals, and they understand the seriousness and the sincerity with which we need to collaborate our efforts to protect this country. And I think we've done a good job. We have a little ways to go, but we've done a good job. But individuals, that's where I see it going, individuals who are becoming smarter and more astute about the practice of security and safety and being able to use that to launch their careers either in the industry or somewhere else from all sides of it, be it finance, be it, as I said, personnel, HR, training. All these fields or facets are open within this field, and you can start it from taking an unarmed post and moving up.
Really good information. Always good to have you. And how about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Trinity Protection Services online?
Absolutely. So our website, Eric, is www.trinityprotection.com, www.trinityprotection.com. And we also have a training academy, and you can go directly to that website at tpsacademy.com. T as in Tom, P as in Paul, S as in service, tpsacademy.com.
Well, very good. I certainly appreciate your joining us, especially on this day that has marked all Americans. He is Greg Hollis, President and CEO of Trinity Protection Services, with a mission to provide state-of-the-art physical security services for commercial and residential entities, city, state, and federal governments. And the website of reference, once again, is trinityprotection.com. And for the Academy, it's tpsacademy.com. Greg, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio in association with EDC, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.